Let's thank God for our male chorus. If you were here last Sunday, I announced that during the month of October, we are in an intentional season of prayer. As I'm asking every member of Watch Chapel across the entire month of October to be very intentional about your prayer life. As a church, we are praying for particular issues every day in the month of October. At least through the month of October, I'll be preaching on the practice, priority, and power of prayer. It'll dip in some to November, I know already. I want to call your attention to verse 10 of chapter 42 that we've lifted in Job chapter 42. I want to lift verse 10 and lift it again in your hearing. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. I want to preach from a simple text title. I want to call it Pray for Them. Pray for Them. Lord, bless your word. Let your word fall on fresh and fertile ground. Use this word to encourage our prayerfulness. Use this word to encourage our intercession. Your word's my mouth. In Jesus' name, amen. Prayer makes a difference. Prayer makes a difference. Prayer makes a difference. Prayer can be the difference between blessing and backsliding. Prayer can be the difference between confidence and confusion. Prayer can be the difference between God's favor and frustration. Prayer can be the difference between flourishing and floundering. Prayer can be the difference between your health and an adverse health circumstance. Prayer can be the difference between winning and worrying. Prayer can be the difference between staying out of stuff and finding yourself caught up in stuff. For those of us who have had someone pray for us, we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that prayer makes a difference. Those of us who have ever prayed for somebody and seen God answer our prayers, we know that prayer makes a difference. For those of us who have seen God respond to our prayers in ways that were humanly impossible, we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that prayer makes a difference. Can I get a witness this Sunday morning? According to this Old Testament text, we witness the power and difference and significance that prayer makes in the life of a circumstance and situation. For those of us who are familiar with this narrative, we know that Job has experienced an unspeakable series of tragedies. Job has experienced not just one tragic, unfortunate circumstance, but Job has experienced a series of tragic, unfortunate circumstances that upset the apple cart of his life. In a brief period of time, Job has lost his health, his wealth, has had to bury his children, and has faced unspeakable tragedy. To add insult to injury, Job's friends who came to minister to him with their silent support in Job chapter 2 have now gone off the rails. According to Job chapter 2, when they heard about the circumstance that occurred in Job's life, Job losing his wealth, Job having to bury his children, Job being subject to a disease that left him with boils on his body from head to toe, Job's friends came from far to minister to Job with their presence. They didn't preach any sermons, they just sat there. They didn't give commentary, they just sat there with him. They didn't sing any gospel songs, they sat there. Parenthetically, sometimes when our friends are going through, they just need us to show up, be quiet, be present, and be supportive. You don't have to preach a sermon to be supportive. You don't have to sing a song to be supportive. You don't have to give commentary to be supportive. You don't have to give your opinion to be supportive. Sometimes the best thing we can do, Watch Chapel, is show up, be quiet, and be supportive. According to Job chapter 2, they get it. But from Job chapter 3 to Job chapter 41, come on, 38 chapters, they have gone off the rails. They are now giving commentary concerning why Job is going through what he's going through. They are no longer quiet, but they are now speaking on behalf of God what is awry out of their ignorance, not in form, but they are telling God what is wrong with Job and Job why he is in trouble, consequently because there is some secret sin in his life. If Job were really holy, he wouldn't be going through what he's going through. If Job was really a holy, upstanding man of God, he wouldn't have had to bury his children, wouldn't have lost his wealth, wouldn't be going through this health circumstance in his life. For 38 years, for 38 chapters, Job's friends have been bumping their gums, talking crazy about the circumstance that Job has gone through, but unbeknownst to them, Job is going through what he is going through, not because of some sin, but because God is pruning him. Come on, I feel like preaching this morning. Let me help somebody on this Sunday morning. Those of us who are so sanctified, self-righteous, judgmental and holier than thou. Everybody who goes through tragedy and circumstance hadn't gone through it because of some sin in their lives. Every tragedy in somebody's life cannot be traced to some sin that their mama or daddy committed or some sin they committed before they were saved. There are sometimes God takes us through not because we've been wrong, not because we are sinning, not because we are reaping the harvest that we have sown. There are sometimes you and I have gone through because God is pruning us to make us more fruitful, make us more productive, make us more holy. You might as well admit it right now. There have been times in your life and times in my life where we have wondered, why God, why?
Why did I have to go through this? Why am I going through what I'm going through? And you trace your life, and then God spoke and said, I'm pruning you. You hadn't done anything, but I'm just pruning you to get the best out of you, because unless I take you through, you won't learn to pray. Unless I take you through, you won't learn to depend upon me. Unless I take you through, you won't seek me with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength. Unless I take you through. Be careful about telling folk why they going through what they going through. Be careful about speaking on behalf of God when you don't know the conversation that God has had behind the scenes. The 38 chapters, they are talking about what they don't know. But according to Job 42, God Almighty gets involved. And when God gets involved, God chastises Job's friends. He tells them that they don't know what they're talking about, and they are speaking that which is awry about God and Job. While Job's friends are chastised, God gives Job a commandment that was challenging and difficult. These are the same men who have dogged him out. The same men who have talked about Job, used to be his friends, now they have become what millennials call frenemies. Amen. This ain't Jonathan and David. This ain't Ruth and Naomi. This ain't Damon and Pythias. Come on, talk to me. But now they have become frenemies. They ain't full-time friends, but they ain't full-time enemies. They ain't really supportive, but they ain't full-time on sabotage. They ain't there faithfully, but they ain't there when he really needs them. Frenemies. Come on, talk to me. Folk that show up when you get married, but don't show up when, come on, talk to me. Folk that show up when you're serving dinner, but don't show up when they got to pay. Folk who will jump in your car, but won't offer no gas. Folk that'll show up when you're going through, but folk won't show up when you're celebrating. Folk that'll show up when there's a party, but won't show up when there's a funeral. Folk that'll show up when it's high on the hog, but won't show up when they got to kick in. Job is given a command from God. Job, I want you to pray for them. Job, like most of us, has to go back to God. God, are you talking about me? Come on, talk to me. And God tells Job to pray for his friends. Job, I know they have hurt you, but I want you to pray for them. I know they have spoken ill of you, but I want you to pray for them. I know they have hurt you with their words, but I want you to pray for them. I know they have dogged you out in public and in private, but I want you to pray for them. I know they have spoken ill of you, but I want you to pray for them. I know they did not invite you to the celebration, but I want you to pray for them. I know they have not been as faithful to you as you have been to them, but I don't want you to cuss. I don't want you to read them the riot act. I don't want you to get them told. I don't want you to lay unholy hands on them. But Job, I want you to pray for the people who have hurt you. Can I preach this word on this Sunday morning? And like Job prayed for his frenemies, like Job prayed for the people that hurt him, God on this Sunday morning through the preacher of the gospel is encouraging us to pray for the them in our lives. Can I preach this word on this Sunday morning? I know they hurt you, but God wants you to pray for them. I know they are hating on you, but God wants you to pray for them. I know they have gossiped about you, but God wants you to pray for them. They have dug ditches for you, but God wants you to pray for them. They have tried to sabotage your success. They have minded your business. They have discouraged your dream. They have brought out the worst in you. They have brought out out the ugly in you. They have cheated on you. They have left you for dead. But God doesn't want you to fight fire with fire. God doesn't want you to cuss them. God doesn't want you to feed them with a long-handled spoon. God doesn't want you to give them what they gave you. But God wants you to be man or woman of God enough, sanctified enough, holy enough to pray for their name and put their name on your prayer list and call on God's power in their lives. Can I preach this? We might as well be sanctified and honest on this Sunday morning. Praying for people who have hurt us is hard. Come on, let me preach this to the real folk on this Sunday morning. Only about 50 of y'all are real enough to raise your hand and say amen. There are some people we find it easy to pray for. We don't mind praying for people that pray for us. We don't mind praying for those encouragers. We don't mind for the people that love us. We don't mind praying for the people that support us. We don't mind praying for the people that say amen. But there are some people in my life and in your life we just don't want to pray for. I need the real people to walk with me. We don't want to pray for the people that have hurt us. We don't want to pray for the people that have lied upon us. We don't want to pray for the people that left us for dead, who took our kindness for weakness. We don't want to pray for the counselor who said we were not college material. We don't want to pray for our ex who said, you ain't never gonna find nobody like me. We don't want to pray for the person that wounded us, talked about us, dogged us, and brings out the ugly in us. We want to pray for the lovable people, but I'd be doggone if we want to pray for the people that make our life hard. Let me preach this to be real on this Sunday morning. Let me not let anybody leave this sanctuary under the cloud that we are not the them sometimes. We ain't all holy. We ain't all innocent. We ain't all without sin. We ain't all without blood on our hands, skeletons in our closet, even some live bodies in our closet. Sometimes we are the ones that have hurt people, wounded people, left people for dead, minded people's business, talked about people, got in their space, sabotaged them, and gotten on folks' last nerves. We find it hard to pray for them, but there's some people that are praying for us right now. There's some people on there. We on somebody's list. Can I preach this? You broke somebody's heart. You messed up somebody's mind. You destroyed somebody's dream. You minded somebody's business. You denied somebody an opportunity. Let's not act like we are so holy, so pious, that we ain't without sin. We are the David. I'm the man. I'm the woman. I need to pray for somebody, but I be doggone. I got some folk that I thank God are praying for me. Let me preach this to the real. Anybody honest enough on this Sunday morning to say, I'm the them? We come in church and get saved and act like we ain't never committed no sin. We get sanctified, become a deacon, become a preacher, become a choir member, and act like we ain't never broke nobody's heart. Act like we ain't never mind nobody's business. Act like we don't talk crazy every now and then. Act like we ain't never been condescending, critical, mean-spirited. Yeah, you holy on Sunday morning, but all of us got some skeletons in our closet. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. I'm preaching this to set somebody free on this Sunday morning. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Confession is good for the soul, bad for the reputation. Job has a command from God, pray for them. What happens when you pray? And let me stop right here before I delve too far into the sermon. When God tells Job to pray for them, those of us who've ever been hurt or wounded by somebody know that this kind of prayer ain't a one episode prayer. Come on, talk to me. If somebody has ever hurt you, wounded you, broken your heart, left you for dead, that ain't a one-time 10-second prayer. That is a prayer. Sometimes you got to pray every day. Can I preach this? You got to pray that prayer on Monday all day, Tuesday all day, Wednesday all day, Thursday all day. You got to turn your plate down on Friday and ask for the Holy Ghost to get inside of you so you don't slap nobody into the next decade because they have hurt and wounded you. There's some people you got to put a picture on your wall and I'll target them in prayer. God, I don't want to catch a case. I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to call the IRS on nobody, but God, I'm going to pray for them. I ain't going to hurt them, but I'm going to pray for them. I ain't trying to, can I preach this to somebody? And that ain't a one-time prayer. There's some folk in our lives, depending upon the wound, the pain, the disappointment, the hurt, the trauma, you are praying for them in the grave, but you're praying for them. They had Martin Lawn, they had Carolina Biblical Gardens, they had King Cemetery in Arbutus, but you're still praying for them right now because you ain't been healed yet. What happens when you pray for them? When you pray for them, you experience freedom. 38 chapters. God, come on, talk to me. Job has been hurt. Job has been wounded. 38 chapters, they've been talking about Job. Used to be his friends, used to be his road dogs, used to be his wingmen, used to be his flossy posse, but now he ain't that holy. He ain't that sanctified. He ain't that upstanding. Hurt. Wounded. But Job, I want you to pray for them. And when Job begins to pray, Job begins to experience deliverance, freedom, and liberation. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Some of us are not in physical prisons, amen, where we got three hots in a cot. Come on, talk to me. But some of us are in psychological, emotional, spiritual bondage right now. We in church, but you got handcuffs on because of bitterness and unforgiveness. You sanctified, you singing in the choir. But there's some people you can't stand to see do well because the weight of bitterness and unforgiveness has so warped your mind and spirit that you can't stand to hear certain songs, won't go back to homecoming, can't stand to see certain people come up on your Facebook thread because the pain is still real. But as you begin to pray for them, God delivers you. God frees you. God liberates you. Let me just make it plain. If there's somebody you can't pray for, that's the person you need to pray for. If there's somebody, can I talk to me now? If there's some song you can't hear because it reminds you of 1979, reminds you of 89, and you had plans with them and they broke your heart, that's the person you need to pray for. If it's some circumstance or situation that still is painful and it's connected to a person, that's the person you need to pray for, because until you can pray for them, you are in bondage. Let me preach this to somebody right now. Life's too short to be mad every day. Life's too short to suck on lemons every day. Life's too short to have your mouth poked out and your lips pursed. Life's too short to be mean mugging every day. I want to be free in Jesus' name. I want to experience the joy of the Lord. I want to have a good time with my wife and children. I want to come to church. I want my prayers to be answered. I want to have fun. I want to smile. I don't want to go through life embittered in bondage because of some pain. Lord, deliver me. Lord, liberate me. Lord, free me. I'm going to pray for them because I don't want to be in bondage. When I pray for them, God frees me. Can I keep preaching? When I pray for them, not only does God free me, when I pray for them, prayer engenders reconciliation. Notice when Job prays, the text says his friends, his brothers and sisters, his play cousins and real cousins, his acquaintances, Pookie and them, come from near and far. They don't come empty-handed, but they come with gifts. And they come and have a great reunion and experience reconciliation because for 38 chapters, folk didn't know what was going on with Job. You know, when folk don't know what's going on with you, they keep their distance from you. Come on now. Come on, I know folk now. Come on now. I just don't know scripture. I know black folk in particular. Folk don't know what's going on with you. They keep that distance. Okay, all right, I'll see you later. But now that God has vindicated Job, now that his friends have come to give him gifts, the text says that everybody comes from near and far, and there is reconciliation because Job initiates reconciliation by praying for his friends. What couples are estranged because they have not prayed for one another? What parents and children are estranged because they have not prayed one for another? What former friends are not reconciled because nobody has thought enough to pray for the other person? What church members are estranged from one another because we have not prayed for one another? What churches, what friends, what organizations, what brothers, what sisters, what family units, what people are estranged because we have not called on the name of God for my friend, my wife, my children, my sister, my mama, my daddy, my co-worker, my player? Come on, talk to me, somebody. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, what unnecessary divorces, unnecessary estrangements, unnecessary falling out, all because we do not take everything. I said everything. Everything. Family reunion fallouts, funeral fallouts, inheritance fallouts, everything to God in prayer. We remember George Wallace. Those of us who know the civil rights movement, who stood in the state of Alabama and said, segregation now, segregation then, segregation forever. We remember how George Wallace was a staunch segregationist and said what black folk would never do in his state. You better be careful about saying never. Black man just got elected mayor in Montgomery, Alabama, the cradle of the Confederacy. You better be careful about telling God what will never happen. Black man mayor in Birmingham, Alabama. Y'all ain't talking to me. Be careful what you say will never happen. Before George Wallace died, George Wallace was shot, paralyzed. But that ain't the story. Before George Wallace died, George Wallace reconciled with black folk in the state of Alabama, confessed and apologized for his staunch segregation policies, because I believe behind the scenes there were black folk praying for him. Y'all ain't talking to me in here. Only God can melt a stony heart. Only God can melt a hard head. Only God can turn around somebody who's reprobate. You keep on praying, God will turn them around. Keep on praying, God will bring them back home. Keep on praying, God will reconcile that relationship. Keep on praying, they'll give their life to Christ. You and I may be gone in glory, but God still answers the prayers of your great-grandmother, your great-grandfather. God is still answering the prayers of the founders of this congregation. Don't tell me what God can't do. Come on now, I feel like preaching. Come on, y'all ain't gonna talk to me, but come on, I'm gonna close strong now. When you pray, God will free you. When you pray, prayer will engender reconciliation. When you pray for them, God will do the miraculous. Look at what God does in the life of Job. The text says that Job received twice as much as he lost. Come on, talk to me. Job chapter 1 gives us insight when God and the devil had a conversation. God had the conversation and bet that Job would still be faithful to God even though all of his material stuff was taken away. The enemy took his health. The enemy took his wealth. The enemy made him bury his children. But Job didn't turn his back on God. And now, after Job has prayed for the people that hurt him, prayed for the people that wounded him, prayed for the people that left him for dead, the text says that Job's latter days were better than his former days, and God restored unto him twice as much as he had lost. Don't tell me God won't do the miraculous. God will answer your prayers. You don't have to fight nobody. You don't have to cuss nobody. You don't have to snitch on nobody. You don't have to drop a dime on nobody. I just dare you to pray for the people who have hurt you, and God will do the miraculous for you in front of them. Does anybody know God can do the miraculous? Anybody know God can open doors that you never thought would be open to you? God will bless you in the presence of people who said you would never amount to anything. God will make your enemies your footstools. God will prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Do I have anybody with a sure enough testimony? I never thought I would be here, but I got on my knees and called on the name of God, and God did what no man could do. God made my haters shut their mouth. God promoted me. God blessed me, and now I ain't worried about them, but I just throw my head back and say, thank you, God, for the miracle. Thank you for the open door. Thank you for the new husband. Thank you for the new wife. Thank you for joy. Thank you for peace of mind. Thank you for doing what nobody else could do. I ain't worried about them. I'm just thanking God. You don't have to rub it in their face. Just praise God for what God is doing. You don't have to remind them. Just praise God for being good to you, for being great, for being awesome, for being a miracle worker. Won't God do it? I said, won't God? Won't God? Won't he will? Will he, won't he? Won't God? Stand to your feet if you're able. You don't have to cuss nobody. You don't have to go on social media and show your ring off. You don't have to walk down the aisle slow. You don't have to do nothing. You just thank God for what he's done for you. You just praise God. Lord, I thank you for making my latter days better than my former days. God, I thank you for restoring everything I lost twofold. God, I thank you for joy I've never had before. God, I thank you. Somebody, my sister, my brother, you're here.